I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is the Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
I'm back from California. Do I look tan?
You do.
Oh, thank you.
And refreshed.
I am refreshed.
You liked it? You had fun?
Yes. Kyle was right about the desert. Once you hit those windmills and the sky opens up and it's mountains and it's warm, you definitely feel like you are on vacation and able to relax.
Nice.
There were also the house that we stayed in. It was with friends, a couple, and they adopt older dogs. So there were three dogs with us, Chuck, Kevin, and Steve.
Those are really funny dog names.
All iconic in their own ways. And it was just lovely to be able to relax and have dogs around and just be poolside. Oh, the
well,
best.
While you were sunning yourself, I was doing all the heavy lifting here for the podcast.
Well, thank you so much.
But Wendy, Dr. Wendy helped. So
that is true. How did that go?
She was a really great co-host.
Did you ask her about her boobs?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, obviously. Also, the Shahs of Sunset reunion taped last week while I was away, and there are interview looks available on BravoTV.com, so check them out.
And Real Housewives of Beverly Hills was dark last week. We know. We have lots to get into with the new episode this week. And the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills after show officially launched. So check that out every Wednesday on BravoTV.com after the episode airs. And Thursday mornings on Bravo's YouTube channel.
Okay, so what are we talking this week?
Real Housewives of Potomac, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Below Deck Med. And Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh my God, that dark week, it left us, you know, wanting more, and we got it.
We got it.
Plus, we have an interview with Destiny Rose from Shahs of Sunset. Okay, Potomac.
Yes.
How long do you think it will be until Michael Darby and Randall Emmett are working together on a film?
That's interesting. You know what went through my head when he told Ashley he was getting into production? Like, just, by the way, very blasé. Oh, I'm gonna be a producer.
Right.
Like, okay.
Because it's that easy.
A lot of stuff done on a bunch of different deals.
Yeah?
No, we're gonna start another business, too. We're gonna do movie production.
What?
I wanna produce some movies.
I swear I could see what was going through Ashley's head being Sonia Morgan. And being like, I do not want to go bankrupt because of a bad film deal. Like, you better know what you were talking about before getting into this.
Right. I mean, he definitely is. I'm happy for him on this new venture, I suppose. But it's also, I hope he understands the risk in that industry. I mean, I don't totally know what industry he's in now. I'm sure there's a lot of risk in that as well.
I don't either.
But entertainment is so fickle.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess maybe from his experience with production on this show, he's feeling inspired.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Getting into the text messages between Mia and Giselle and Robin, I think we can all agree it could have been avoided had Robin and Giselle not said without Karen in the text message.
Yeah.
If you just said, hey, two of us want to get together for drinks with you, I'm pretty sure Mia would not have just brought Karen.
Right. I don't think she would have brought her initially. But I also think that rather than responding the way that she did.
Well, the response was not good.
But not good. But I get it. I think she is trying to position herself in this new cast as like, nobody's going to tell me what to do. And that I appreciate. But if she did feel a type of way, I almost wish that she had actually gone, sat down with them, listened to what they had to say. And if it did come down to this whole, like, we think you're being influenced by Karen thing, then pop off and tell them what you think and at least give us a scene to work with rather than screenshots. You know, so I almost wish she had gone and followed through with it and then shut them down in real life.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not the way it went.
Not the way it went.
Did you notice that Giselle is saved in her phone as Giselle, R-H-O-P?
Yeah, I did. It's like, how many Giselles do you know?
Right.
Is Bündchen one of them?
Probably not.
Yeah.
But it does look like next week in the preview, at the end of the episode, we do get them going out, the three of them. So Robin and Giselle do get their chance to get some one-on-one or two-on-one time with Mia.
Yeah.
Speaking of Karen, her daughter Raven is so sweet.
I know.
So cool.
I know.
She lives here in New York. Can we hang out with her?
We should.
Raven.
She might be too business for us, though. Like, I know. Too, you know.
And I don't know how old she is. It's the same thing with like Candy's daughter, Riley. She's just like enough younger than we are. That'd be weird if we were like, can we go out for drinks? Right. You know, like Raven, maybe she's a little bit older. Wouldn't be so bad, but you know, putting it out there. If you're around, we're free. What did you think of Giselle's Versace robe?
I didn't notice it, to be honest.
Really? It's quite loud.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. You know, what was I thinking about? I guess I was thinking about Robin's sweatsuit and how I didn't really feel. Like, I just have been noticing lately that everyone is showing up looking a little lazy as compared to, like, even at Ashley's little baby celebration, Candace showed up in sweats or you know, like workout clothes, and everyone else was like in nice outfits. So I think that I keep, my attention keeps going to like the...
The opposite.
Right.
Yeah, you're just like, you're gravitating
the person,
towards like, they're
the
not trying.
Who just was like, meh.
Right.
You know?
I do think the whole athleisure wave that has hit our society in recent years has impacted the way people feel like they need to present themselves in certain situations. And I just, I'm of the mentality, I think, as a New Yorker living in California prior, that if you're going to leave the house, you got to try a little bit, right?
Yeah.
It's going to college. Okay, fine. I wore sweatpants to class, whatever. But I don't know. I mean, going out into the world, you know, fashion is a way to express yourself. So like, why just resort to being lazy and being like, I don't really care.
I was out with girlfriends this past weekend, and one of them was irate because this, you know, girl passed by in like a very Skims influenced outfit. You know, it was like a sports bra and some biker shorts, but like she wasn't working out. She was just going about her day. And my friend was like, this is New York. This is not LA. People need to step it up here.
Right. No, it's true. And if you're going to do that, accessorize, wear a bold sunglasses, something to, I don't know, show who you are, show your self a little bit. But obviously, going back to Robin and the point that you brought up, we know right now at this time she's really going through it with the pandemic of it all, and she's feeling very lazy, and she's gained a little bit of weight, and she's just not feeling good about herself. So, and it was a pajama party, to be fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, Giselle shows up in this bold print. We got some shade from Karen, as we always love. But I did Google just to verify, and I think it is real. The Versace robe.
Well, isn't the point of a fake one to be pretty similar?
Yeah, it's true. But
I mean,
it looks pretty real.
I don't think Giselle would wear a fake
I don't think she would either. No. Not on camera.
And not after all the shit she got last season for what she wore.
Right, exactly.
What do you think Robin thought of Cynthia from Real Housewives of Atlanta's wedding? Because she going off on Karen about having a super spreader event, which I really just think she was deflecting on the whole, like, why she doesn't want to get married right now.
Yeah.
Which, fine. But I was like, oh, because what Karen was describing was a very intimate thing.
Yeah. And that she was still going to pull it off, essentially. I mean, that whole interaction was so hilarious to me because I just remember doing the after show last season. And any time that Karen came up, Robin was just so shady, but over it, and just would eye roll and just be like, oh, Karen, you know, and seeing that her walk in and that interaction between the two of them where Karen was trying to make conversation and Robin just being like, I want nothing to do with talking to you one-on-one. You know, it was very clear that Robin was just like, I don't care to talk to you. And all of this like little shade here and there about like, well, I'm not trying to have a big wedding. Like, I want to wait, or I do want to have a big wedding. I want to wait until I actually can. It was just so hilarious just to see Robin be so unbothered and uninterested in that combo with Karen. So they play this Never Have I Ever game, which I honestly really wish Ashley Darby had been there.
I know.
Because
you know Ashley's done everything.
Exactly. I mean, she would have dominated the game / lost immediately because her fingers would have been down within probably the first couple of rounds. We know that she has had threesomes in the past. She talked about it pretty openly last season.
All those EDM concerts, wouldn't be surprised if she's done a little.
Exactly.
You
have to wonder if those women have done more of those things and just don't want to admit it, because then it can very easily become storyline.
Yeah.
Mia doesn't care. She's wide open. She's like, whatever, I'll share anything. But like Candace and Chris, I could see them having a threesome. I could see that being a thing. Mm-hmm. Or even maybe before Chris, Candace.
Well, I will say, this is why I love Mia. Because Mia wasn't just like, yeah, I've had one. She like went into detail about it. And I was like, good for you.
Absolutely. Own it. Sex positive.
Yes.
Yeah.
When day is return. Never have I ever had a threesome.
Woo!
I'm not surprised.
Was it with your current husband?
Yep.
Okay. Was it with another woman?
Yep. Quite frankly, I didn't want her to touch me. I just wanted to watch.
Boop.
Oh, boy.
All right now.
So I was popping champagne in the corner, and they were doing their due.
Well, also with Mia being so honest, we did learn, was it last week's episode or this one, where she admitted, yes, I did actually end up dancing, stripping.
Oh, yeah.
Et cetera. So she did open up a little bit more about her experience working at the strip club and how she met her husband and all of that. So I'm glad that we got a little bit more clarity on that.
Love Mia. Yeah.
Just gonna
say it over and over. Love her. Love her honesty.
Well, plus this whole history, her upbringing, what she went through with, you know, being in the foster system and not having a relationship with her biological mom. I mean, that is such an incredible story. And I think we're going to get more into it next week, too, when we see her sit down with Giselle and Robin.
Ascala is really giving me Fallon vibes.
Oh,
from Atlanta. Like, just where she's sort of there. She's not totally there.
Yeah.
She's sort of stirring the pot unnecessarily.
Yep. Inserting herself once in a while.
So I'm keeping an eye on Ascala.
Yeah, I think there's more to come with her. I suspect we're going to see more.
Yeah.
It's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. It's kind of like Beverly Hills. Like, the more people they introduce, you're like, okay, we got a lot going on now. So there's a lot of potential for drama. Below Deck Med?
Please.
If this is Lexi on charter, can you imagine how she may show up to a reunion?
She is one that makes me shake with anger when I watch TV.
I don't think you're alone. I've heard a lot of people, seen a lot of people on social media being like, wow.
Because I'll say that, like, it was one thing last week to watch someone who was very inebriated. And as we know, like, the worst of people can come out with alcohol. But to see her dead sober, talking the way she did to Katie and taking the phone call, like calling her mother as Katie was talking to her.
So when this morning I heard your back. Really?
No, I don't care. I don't care. Okay. And so I'm done. Bye. Hey, Mom, I'm like quitting this boat. This, because I can't deal with this. Like, I really can't.
I can't take it. I'm so mad.
Yeah, it's so disrespectful, which is almost worse than flat out cursing someone out.
And I'm going to say it. I think that Sandy has a really bad instincts when it comes to people.
Yeah.
Because for her to not have Katie's back and say, you know what, if she has disrespected you and the entire crew at this point, it's time to say goodbye. And, you know, last season I felt like she had made some bad calls, too. I just feel like she doesn't have a good picker when it comes to people.
I think you're right, because Sandy saying to Katie, you don't have to worry about the whole boat. Just worry about your team. Well, Sandy, you have to worry about the whole boat. So if Katie is coming to you and saying, this person is very toxic, attacked everyone on your crew, except for what, Courtney, because Courtney was asleep. And I don't think this is going to work. I don't think this working relationship is going to be productive for charters going forward. And it seems like in that moment, Sandy dealing with the personnel issue of finding a new chef and figuring all that out, didn't want to deal with another, oh no, we have to find a second stew or a third stew or something. I don't think she wanted to deal with that in that moment. But okay, sure, give Lexi another chance. But what's going to happen if she pops off again?
I don't believe in second chances when it comes to work stuff. I just don't. Yeah. Like, I think that, no, you need to leave and then find out there are consequences for your actions.
Do you think Lexi showed remorse the next day?
No, she's not good at showing remorse. She's good at pretending nothing happened. I think she's good at that. And that's the thing. From this moment forward, she may be perfect, but I am not over it. And I don't think that she should have gotten to stay.
Yeah. And I have a feeling that we're still pretty early in the season. There is definitely more to come with Lexi. And I think more challenges that Katie's going to face as a leader in her position, and Sandy then too.
Yeah. And I will say, I agree with Sandy with the whole Matt thing, because he came back tail between his legs and she's like, you can do this charter and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, no, you're not allowed to just abandon the team when it suits you.
Right. And it hasn't been that many days all in that they've been on this boat, and Matt's already walked away twice. You can't do that. Like, how many chances are you allowed to get? And the thing about Matt, you know, thinking back to other volatile chefs, right? There's been a lot of them in Below Deck history. I'm thinking back on Chef Rachel, for example.
Yeah, gosh.
She was unpredictable, but charming. And Matt doesn't really have that going for him. He seems like a nice guy, but I don't think he really is. And I'm not so sure even the food that he's providing for everyone is out of this world stellar. I haven't heard the same reviews from charter guests as we've heard from people like Chef Rachel or whoever, you know, Chef Ben, all of these people in the past who have really been a little crazy, but stepped up and delivered at every step of the way.
It wouldn't make for good TV, but it is odd given what we've seen this season, what we've seen on other seasons, that they don't mandate complete sobriety from the crew for just the entire season, you know?
I mean, yeah, it definitely wouldn't make for good TV, but it is funny when you hear Sandy say something like the next day, like, oh, okay, well, just, you know, shake it off. You guys are hungover. Just talk it out and get through it. You know, hungover is a consideration and how they can mend what's going on in the crew. But, you know, Sandy, let them party. Gotta let them party. Okay, also, poor Courtney for having to pay the price for doing literally nothing wrong. I mean, she had to move her room. She got sent back down to laundry. I mean, it's like we talked earlier this season about nice guys finishing last with David, and it's now nice gals finish last too. It's almost like she's being punished.
I'm a little bit okay with it just because I felt like she was in some ways egging Lexi on when she was like being, you know, drunk and belligerent. And, you know, because Courtney was inebriated too. I don't think she realized what was happening fully. But I just also thought that she was being a little inappropriate with comments and even like the supporting of Lexi at certain points where I was just like, you know what? That's okay. You should move rooms maybe. And
interesting. And, you know,
go back
Courtney,
to laundry.
I think Courtney does relate to Lexi at this particular time with her dad being, you know, sick, going through Alzheimer's, Lexi losing her father. So maybe that is not clouding her judgment. That's not the right phrase that I would want to use, but it's maybe affecting her vision.
Right.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I did feel bad for her. And she did sleep through a lot of the real heavy drama that
for
was
sure.
happening.
Well, and at a certain point, she even was like, okay, Lexi, stop.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But oh, I don't know.
So I talked to Destiny Rose from Shaws of Sunset. She's fresh off of the Shaws reunion. So I had so many questions about that and this season's explosive drama. Here's that interview. Destiny Rose, welcome to the Daily Dish podcast. How are you doing?
I am lovely. Thank you. How are you?
Good. I mean, I have so many questions because I know you just got finished filming the reunion.
Girl.
Well, it's funny because I was just watching a bunch of backstage footage with you guys and you were all sort of like, we're not nervous. Like, we're just excited. Everyone's in a good place. And I was like, huh, is this reunion going to be interesting? Because they all seem really like just, you know, happy-go-lucky to be there.
Was that them being happy-go-lucky? Because I don't remember me being so happy-go-lucky.
So how did it go? I mean,
look, you know, I'm always dropping truth bombs when it comes to like my emotions and how I feel. And, you know, there's a lot of things that went on this season, and there's a lot of things that I just want to call bullshit, you know, and the reunion is the perfect opportunity. And mind you, when you're in that moment and the reunion is happening and there's all of us in one room, there is a lot of things being said at once, you know? So for me, yeah, I was nervous. I definitely was nervous. I wasn't feeling myself fully until obviously when I got, you know, my clothes on, then I was like, okay, bitch, I feel you. But yeah, there was nerves for sure, because there's a lot of things going on that I definitely needed to address.
Yeah. I mean, how do you feel in general this season? Because last season was so crazy and so, you know, divisive for the group and, you know, dramatic in a very dark way, I feel. Yes. So yes. Was this season a walk in the park compared to that? I mean, we still had a lot of drama, but I feel like this time it was very different.
Well, last season was dark for sure. You know, two friends, 30 years, you know, MJ's husband, the Shams, her son, and Reza and Adam. I mean, it was very dark. But this year for myself, it was dark too. It was, it did not make me feel good to go through situations with friends that I care about that aren't, you know, speaking the truth and are bullshitting and are deflecting, and they're blaming everybody else except them, you know? So for me, it was a hard, hard season for me. You know, I was in a situation with Mike, and he was very disrespectful and came into my home and said nasty things. And, you know, I don't do well with disrespectful men. You know, I don't do well at all. So for me, it was a hard season for sure.
Yeah. I mean, where does your relationship with Paulina stand today?
You know, you're going to see it in the reunion, but it's crazy to me how, you know, I'm in this situation, which I didn't ask for, by the way.
Right.
I'm in this situation trying to be a good soul and be there for someone, and that someone being Paulina. And it sucks because I was the one that was getting all the heat and all the nastiness, when in all reality, I was just trying to be there for someone. And let's be very clear, which you will see in the reunion, I call bullshit. Mike is very good at bullshitting. He's like a car salesman. You know what I mean? That's the type of guy he is. So with his iCloud hack and no, it was me. No, it wasn't me. No, there were fake text messages. No, it was one girl. Then it was five girl. Come on.
I mean, I am still so confused by the whole thing.
So am I. And we've done the reunion. So imagine. God.
How are things with MJ these days? Because, you know, last season was tough for you guys, and this season it seemed like you were going to try to start over. How are you feeling about things?
You know, there was a point in my life where I really, really, really loved her and cared for her deeply and dearly. You know, she was a sister, and I'm saying she was as past tense because that's where we were. We weren't close the way that we were prior. And now this season, we're trying to get to a better place of understanding each other. I'm trying to understand where she's coming from, and I'm hoping that she understands where I'm coming from and why I feel what I feel. But let's also be real. I mean, her mom was talking about my body, and her husband's talking about my body, and her friends are talking about my body. And it's like, clearly I must be doing something right, and I'm not even trying. You know what I'm saying? So it's a hard situation to be in when I'm trying to go to a place of being in a better place with her, when I have her family members talking so negative about me.
Yeah. I mean, that was hard to watch.
Nasty. It was nasty. I mean, I could be an asshole and say, like, listen, I mean, your mom's talking about me needing an ass, but has her mom seen her ass? Is that why you got your ass done, MJ, twice? Is it because your mom said the same thing? Thank God I love myself. But I didn't say any of that because it just shows to me that clearly, again, I'm doing something right and I'm not even trying if they're all sitting there talking about me.
Right. You know, it was very, I felt brave for you to open up about the situation in your past with a stalker. Ugh. Were you nervous to bring that up? Because I imagine even like talking about it, you're worried about giving that person attention.
You know what? You hit it. This is such a hard topic for me to talk about. One thing is talking about my father, and the other thing is this situation, the stalker situation. I never wanted to revisit that. Never. I never wanted to ever have to talk about that. There's certain things that you want to lock away forever and not ever have to hear it, face it, feel it, none of that stuff. And, you know, when Mike disrespected me in my home and he still didn't care what I was saying and still pushed me to make his way into my home. And by the way, you know, I'm sure, look, the cameras didn't catch everything, but he walked in my home. He was trying to open my doors. I mean, it was a door from my bedroom to the door in my house. I mean, it was such a disgusting, violating feeling for me.
Yeah.
That it took me to the place of where that trauma happened. And having a stalker is no joke. I almost lost my life. Not once, not twice, many times in that year. And I begged the police to help me with all the proof, all the evidence. But in the state of California, I should say back then, I don't know now, but in the state of California, if you are not romantically involved with someone, they cannot do any restraining orders. You have to physically be with someone in order for the judge to allow you to have a restraining order. So I went through a lot, and through that whole situation, it caused major damage. So much that unfortunately, sometimes it may come off that I'm very vague or that I'm hiding things, but it's because I had to train myself to not allow people to know where I'm at, what am I doing, because of the trauma, not because of me trying to hide things, but because I was trying to protect myself so I don't ever have to go through that again.
Mm.
And Mike, just being a dickhead that he is, clearly he just doesn't see it any other way except Mike's way. And also, just so you know, he was on Twitter doing this whole rant about my stalker situation is a fake storyline, which I wanted to get through the Twitter app to get to him. That's how bad it was. But just wait till the reunion, because let me tell you, for someone to go around and create a fake story about something that almost killed them is really low. God. It's disgustingly low.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you got a chance to address that. And, you know, that's a lot.
It's a lot. And look, women are such valuable, beautiful, freaking creatures that, unfortunately, we live in a society where, you know, men are like some men, not all men. Let me take that back. Some men are just creepy old men kind of vibes. You know what I mean? And you just, as a woman, you just have to be so cautious. We go so hard every day in the workforce to prove a point, to get better pay, to get respect, to get, you know, the value that we deserve. And then we also have to worry about harassment and stalkers, and it's crazy. Every woman needs their own personal security guard,
right?
That's my thing. If I was president, every woman will get their own security guard. That's my thing.
Destiny for president.
Yeah, exactly. For sure.
Looking back at this season as a whole, is there anything that you now are like, oh, I would have done that differently?
Oh yeah, there's many things. I wish I would have spoken up more. I wish I didn't feel like I was thinking I was trying to protect Mike by not saying all the nasty things that he's really done, even though he lies to the world and says it's the iCloud. No, it's this text. No, it wasn't me. It was me. You know, there's a lot. I wish I did speak more of my truth. But the thing is I was in such a very difficult place to be in. You know, I didn't want Paulina to have to go through more drama with Mike. Because if Mike knew everything I knew, he would immediately go straight to the source. And that source is Paulina.
Yeah.
So I don't want to cause problems for her or for anyone at that matter. But, you know, and I also wish that I kung fu'd him that night, like more than what I did. All I did was grab him and try to escort him out. And he still chose not to leave and walk his ass in my house. So yeah, I wish I would have kung fu'd him. And I wish I would have spoke my truth even more and not worrying about the repercussions that Paulina would have endured. But
right.
It's also a catch 22, you know, at least I saved her from going through some shit.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, last question. What are the chances we're going to see you and Nima end up together?
Let me talk about Nima and I really quick. Nima and I, we have always had this relationship where, like, he would be, you know, like my wingman. I would be his wingwoman. We would always go out. You know, him and I have always had conversations that probably would be cringeworthy for others, for us, like talking about sex or, you know, orgasms or anything like that. It's not uncomfortable to have these conversations with Nima. So, with that being said, like, look, he's young, I'm young, he's single, I'm single, we've been in COVID, like, I mean, I'm not dead, let's flirt it up, let's see, you know, whatever happens, happens, but yeah, at the end of the day, like, we're freaking single, dude.
I mean, it sounds to me like you guys have hooked up at this point.
I mean, I can't say anything. I'm just going to say, everyone needs to stay tuned.
I'm here for it.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, he's light on the eyes. You know, he's got beautiful eyeballs. Plus, you know, I know his mom likes me. But yeah, it's not like long-term relationship material.
Yeah, you don't need that. No. You know, you just need a... Well, I guess you just with him 10 minutes, he said. So.
Good. Yeah. And let's be real about that combo. I honestly, with my heart of hearts, definitely believe that Nima is speaking the truth. Mike, on the other hand, is coming from like this ego place where he's like, oh, 10 minutes? No way. I do hours. Like, are you kidding me? What girl would want their nos-nos to hurt and get pounded for that long? Like, come on. Come on.
Well, thank you so much. This has been enlightening in so many ways. And I can't wait to watch the reunion.
I appreciate you guys. You guys are amazeballs.
Thanks, Destiny.
I appreciate you, Mama.
All right. Beverly Hills.
Yes.
I think one thing we can all agree on at this point, because there is quite a divide, is that Tom is unwell health-wise.
How do you mean?
There were recent pictures that came out. He's not.
Okay, you mean in real time?
In real time. And at this time, because it wasn't that long ago. It just, after the pictures that came out this week, I sort of was like, all right, a lot of at least what is tied to his health, mental state, well-being, that feels very true to me.
Mm.
At least that part of it.
You see, I can understand why someone might think, huh, it's convenient to say that now.
Right. Right.
But I'm not saying, I'm just saying I can't.
No, devil's advocate.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I will say that I know in other cases that have happened, they have presented the person who is facing charges as more ill or decrepit or trying to position them for sympathy so that when they do face a jury, the way that they appear may have an impact on the way the jury receives what they're saying. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So not to say that Tom is faking an illness or anything like that, because I don't think that's the case. But that is also, you know, playing devil's advocate a little bit.
Right.
One thing that I thought was interesting that Dorit brought up was how Erica is not confiding in people. She's not sharing a lot with the women in the group. But I think the less she confides in people, the more people are going to think she has something to hide. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side of that, as Erica mentions in this episode, there's only so much she can say because all of these cases are happening in real time. And she's very restricted as to what she can talk about, not just with these women, but on the show with cameras rolling.
I also think it's a lose-lose situation for Erica because the less she says, the more it seems like you're saying there's something to hide.
Yep.
But at the same time, she's never been one to share. So when she does share too much, it's like, why are you so forthcoming with details right now?
Yes.
What's in it for you to share so much?
Well, and now the interesting part of it all is she's being selective in the details that she's sharing with the women. And that sort of is what blows up at the end of this episode with her and Garcelle. So my question is, why would she not tell Garcelle about this supposed other woman that Tom potentially was cheating on her? She left that out to Garcelle, but then shared that Tom had been calling her repeatedly every single day.
I have not talked to him, and I cannot talk to him.
Right.
Even though he calls me every day.
He does?
He does?
That's another hard part of it.
Oh.
I had to ask my attorney to call his attorney to say, please stop calling Erica.
Tom is in legal jeopardy, and I cannot talk to him. And if I am asked, when was the last time you spoke to him, I have to be able to say, you know, the day I left, which is the truth.
And then when that got opened up to the group, Erica got really emotional, almost too emotional, where it was a little suspicious.
Erica shares, if you don't mind me saying, that Tom calls her.
Well, I do mind you saying that because I feel like you're betraying my friendship right now. But please, have your moment. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, babe.
No, I don't want to do it with like that.
So let me tell the story.
So why is she picking and choosing what she's sharing with the different women?
Yeah.
You know, but knowing that it's all on camera. I mean, to be fair, when she was walking down that hill and shared that with Garcelle, her mic was still on.
So, yeah. No, I'm really confused because was she, when she said that, aware that she was just being... Because I do understand you can be mic'd. You can have a camera there. And maybe sometimes you're aware of the camera, sometimes you're not. I can see extra being aware that cameras aren't on you right now and forgetting that you're mic'd.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, how strategic is she being right now?
Right. I think a lot of people feel as though she's being very strategic in how she's sharing things. But it's also like, we know hot mic moments have been caught in the past. Maybe she didn't really realize they were still filming or whatnot and shared that with Garcelle and Crystal in confidence, not expecting it to come up.
For a second, let's forget about the whole filming for a show piece of it. Just because everyone knows I'm going through this thing, maybe I'm telling you, Eric, because we're having an intimate moment, a detail I haven't shared with everyone.
Yeah.
It is not for Garcelle to take that back to the group. I understand Garcelle wasn't there when Erica said, like, please don't mention that.
Yeah.
But still, why would you voluntarily tell everyone that? It wasn't yours to tell.
We know Garcelle is unfiltered. She has no problem asking the tough questions. And honestly, before Erica revealed that Tom had been calling her, I'm so glad that Garcelle was like, all right, let's talk about it. Like, what's going on with the money? Like, what's happening? Just like she asked Sutton last year, how did she get her money? Garcelle does not care. And as an audience person, as a viewer, I appreciate that because she's asking the questions that we all want to ask, that nobody else will ask. But did she cross the line by bringing it up in the way that she did in front of everyone? I think so.
I also, it doesn't make sense to me. But I don't know why Erica would lie about it. Like, I can't see what would be in it for her to lie about it. But It's a very different story to say Tom calls her all the time versus she hasn't talked to Tom. He wants nothing to do with her since she left.
Yeah, that's true. And I think she, Erica, didn't want the other women to know because the Kyles, the Suttons, maybe even the Dorits would be like, well, why aren't you answering? Are you going to answer? What would you say if you did? You know, they might pry a little too further into where Erica's ready to let them in. But yeah, that is true. I mean, the longer this goes on, the more Erica is going to have to be careful about what she says and to who. And I think she knows that, but...
It is hard, though, with her because she gets mean when she's upset.
Yeah.
And the way she talked to Garcelle, you know, like, oh, you want to have a fucking moment?
Right.
You know?
Like, right.
No, have your fucking moment.
Yeah.
It's just like it goes... It's... In a way, it almost is a detriment to Erica because you no longer feel sad for her. You feel like, oh, why are you so angry?
You feel a little threatened by her, even as a viewer.
And then it makes you mad, you know, like.
Yeah. And I think Garcelle really took it to heart, and which is why I kind of felt as though it was a producer situation when Erica's like, go ahead, have your moment. Like almost as if Erica recognized Garcelle's not the one doing this. This is someone else encouraging her. And in the bathroom, the way she was crying, I was like, I wonder if she's in there with a producer and talking to someone, you know, because we got a lot more of the breaking fourth wall last season with the Denise of it all. So I'm hoping we get to see a little bit more of that this season, because I can imagine there were plenty of instances where Erica went to a producer and was like, we have to stop talking about this. This is too far. I can't talk about it anymore or something. So I hope we get a few of those moments.
Yeah. Yeah, I think... My instinct says that there, even if a producer wasn't physically in the bathroom with her, I think she was speaking to one via like her microphone.
Yeah. Yeah. She was like, listen.
Just to be like, I've given so much. Don't press me further.
Yeah.
And that is true. Erica has given a lot this season.
So far. I mean, yeah. Just the last handful of episodes, she is delivering, whether you want to believe her or not, whether you do believe her or not, she's giving it her all.
Yeah.
The other conversation that came up was about the money and where it is and if it's hidden, offshore accounts, all of this kind of stuff. Obviously, Erica didn't even know the address of her Palm Springs home.
Yeah.
So if there's money hidden somewhere, she's probably not going to be aware of it. And hopefully that gets discovered if so. But will Erica even see a dime of that anyway? Just depending on how Tom's case plays out. I think there are certain cases that he's involved with where any money would be going to other people and Erica won't see any of that, you know? I know. I don't envy anybody's position at this point.
Right.
You know? Final thought on this episode. I wish the women were asking a little more about Kyle and Kathy's relationship.
Oh, that's a good point.
I wish we were digging a little more into that dynamic and just the family as a whole, because we've seen conversations between Kyle and Kathy, and Kathy's obviously been celebrated this season as the comic relief, so to speak, but there is so much there.
It's interesting Rinna hasn't pressed for details. Because she of anyone.
Come on, Rinna. I did appreciate Rinna also reminding everyone of her Garcelle storyline of like, well, by the way, Garcelle and I are, you know, we're okay. We're pretty good because it had been weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
Months, actually. I think 2 months since they had that conversation in Tahoe. But so much else has happened between then. I don't think Rinna and Garcelle have had any time to work on their relationship to whatever, you know, since the cake.
Right.
At Rinna's house. But yeah, Rinna, we need you to ask some questions.
Yeah.
About Kathy and Kyle. Mm. And Kim. Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, what was your rose?
Well, I don't know if it's a rose or a thorn, but I'll put it in the rose category because I already had a thorn. It from Shaws of Sunset, Gigi calling her son Elijah hot. Oh, yeah.
That gave me a chuckle.
Eli's hot. It's just very funny. When Mike is like, oh, people think we look alike. And she's like, you don't look alike. Elijah's hot.
Right. Because it was so like,
so he's a baby.
Celebratory of her son, but also shade at Mike. My rose is also from Shaw's. I've got a couple. I couldn't pick just one. The first is the Shaw's sitcom intro.
The
editing at the beginning, which I thought was so hilarious. Tommy's Christmas sweater.
Yeah.
With the gingerbreads having sex. And then the fact that Adam finally got rid of that beard that I've been hating on for weeks and weeks.
And, you know, actually, I'll give this my rose also, because there was a moment in Shaw's where I was just really laughing out loud. And it was Nima and Mike talking about sex and how long is typical for a man.
Right.
And just, like, I was laughing so hard because Mike, just this incredulous look on his face where he's just like, why would I have to lie about having sex for 40 minutes?
Right.
And then Nima being like, girls are probably icing their vaginas on the way home.
20 minutes is a marathon?
What?
At the first time, like 10 minutes, I had 20 to 30 minutes second time. You longer than like 30, 40 minutes?
Yes.
30, 40 minutes longer?
When I was single, I would break backs.
He's lying.
No, he's not.
Are you out of 40
your mind? Minutes?
Viagra.
Hours.
Any man that says he goes for hours goes for 30 seconds and is lying to you.
Why the f*** would any man in his right mind say I'm a 10-minute man? If it's less than 10 minutes, never.
All I gotta say is, poor girl. I guarantee she's running out the door, she's icing her vagina and never calling you again.
But I will say, been with the 10-minute man, been with the 40-minute man, I think 40 minutes is much preferable.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Well, I think definitely for the woman. But I can imagine that I think Nima plays up his sexual nature a little bit more than it actually is in real life. But yeah, he seemed not proud to be sharing the 10-minute thing.
He just was like, it's a fact.
Yeah, he's like, just matter of fact, like, that's how it is, right? And Mike's like, no.
Yeah.
No. Sorry, Nima. What was your thorn?
God, it's from Below Deck Med. The deck crew's use of the word Gucci. Everything's Gucci.
I thought that was
deck
over.
Deck looks Gucci. Who says Gucci? Especially, like, they're too old, in my opinion, to be saying Gucci.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
Britt, you were the youngest in this room. Does anyone you know say it?
I've heard it, but
like in the last year?
No.
No. It's over.
It's outdated.
It just seems
maybe
sad.
It just made its way to Croatia. Yeah. So like that's why. My thorn is from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and it is Garcelle forgetting her sister Carol when she was counting through her siblings.
Oh, yeah, that's so funny.
I was like, listen, my dad is one of seven, okay? I can name all my aunts and uncles if I have to stop and think about it. If you can't remember your sixth or whatever sibling, that's on you, Garcelle.
That's funny, because I would think that it'd be hard to remember seven.
No. I mean, they're all like, you know, Brian, Jimmy, Nancy, you know, they're pretty easy to remember, I guess. Like, we're all just Irish people. But yeah, Garcelle, poor Carol. Hope you're okay, Carol.
And we'll be back next week with an all new episode. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure,
it's self care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.